Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 5. Several weeks ago, a couple of months ago, the Lord laid this scripture on my heart, and it just kept rattling around until I felt like this was scripture that would direct us coming into 2025. Paul, writing to Timothy, said, "But watch thou in all things. Be mindful this year of where you're at, what you're doing. Watch in all things. Endure afflictions." In other words, don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. There's a reward coming. And then he says this: do the work of the evangelist. Your neighbor and say, do the work. Oh, I got to work. Do the work. Do the job. Do what you were called for. Stand in the gap. Lift up the heavy hands. Strengthen the feeble knees. Speak a word of encouragement. Yeah. Preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Come on. Hallelujah. Be ready always to give an answer. Lay hands on the sick. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. Do you know you have a ministry? He's not just writing to preachers, card-holding preachers. He knows that every member of the body has a ministry. Because we were all given this ministry and this word of reconciliation to get people back to God. We are all considered the light of the world, the salt of the earth. We all make a difference. We make an impact. We are all living epistles read of all men. We all have a ministry. So do the work. Make full proof of thy ministry. And while we were meeting, I think it was just my wife and I and Sister Sade, we were in a meeting, and I said, well, I'll just share with you guys. This was about a month or so ago, and I said, but trying to sum this up into one word, and it's like the Holy Ghost just said, souls. Souls. 2025 is going to be about souls. That's nothing new. It's always been. Our focus may have been in other places, but God's always been about souls. Amen? Come on. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for your presence that we feel this morning. Thank you for the word of God that we have heard today. Lord, I pray now that our heart, Lord, will be opened up and be good ground to receive the sowing of the word. Lord, let us be mindful, Lord, of this purpose this year. And Lord, let us be just baptized again with a passion for the gospel and for the preaching of the gospel and for the work of the ministry, Lord, for the work of the body, for the work of the kingdom, Lord. Hallelujah. Today, let us hear what the Spirit would say, and let us be changed by it, challenged by it, made better by it, in Jesus' name. Everyone said amen. Clap your hands one more time to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for being in the house of the Lord. Souls. In the United States, really around the world, this is a very common thing, but I had to narrow something down. This is just a thought that came to my mind while I was studying for this. But in the United States, there are 31,284 environmental organizations, saving everything from frogs to earthworms to rainforest and everything else. These organizations, just in the United States, employ 145,665 people. They bring in $29 billion a year, and they have assets of $79 billion. And we've all heard over the years, you see the bumper stickers or the signs or the t-shirts, save the baby seals, save the trees, save the rainforest, save the whales, save all these different things. And yet, nobody says much about save the souls. We should be good stewards of the earth. God created it for our pleasure, for our enjoyment. We should be good stewards of the resources. We should not be wasteful and just try to destroy what God has given us to live in. But I will remind you that the earth is temporal, and the souls of men will live on forever somewhere. The most precious resource on this planet, the one that God is most concerned about, is the soul. The souls of men. And this year, well, as of November the 15th, 2022, the earth crossed the 8 billion mark for the world's population. There are over 8 billion souls on this planet now. We have went past that number. And for these 8 billion souls, God is concerned. They mean something to him. They always have. Ezekiel 18 and 4, the Lord said this, "Behold, all souls are mine." All. Every living, breathing soul is his. Think about that for a second. Over 8 billion breathing humans on this planet, and every one belongs to him. They live because he lets them live. They breathe. They take their next breath because he allows it. He gives it to them. They belong to him. He said, "As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine." It's not about your age. It's not about your standing. Whoever you are, living or breathing, you belong to God. But then he said something very serious. They belong to me, but the soul that sinneth, it shall die. They all belong to him. Sin was and still is the enemy of the soul. And if God cares so much about souls, if God loves souls so much, we should. Hello? We want to grow a church. We want better programs. We want the best technology to help us in our services. We want all these things to draw people. But when it comes down to it, it's not about the program. It's not about the technology. But it's about the souls of men. And I mentioned it earlier. I said, you know, some people may come through the pickleball court. But if all we do is offer pickleball, you know, somewhere it's got to lead to something. And this is, maybe these are doors that open, maybe these are avenues in, but eventually we're going to come across people that don't know the Lord, and they don't even know they're his. But all souls belong to him. They don't know that they have a loving Savior. They don't know that he gave his life for them on Calvary. Friend, there are people today have never set foot in a church. They graduate college and they never read the Bible. It ain't like it used to be. Everybody went to Sunday school when they was little. It ain't like that anymore. There used to always be a family Bible sitting on the coffee table. It's not like that anymore. People are growing up in this world today and they don't know that they are his. And it's the job of the church to do the work of the evangelist and to tell somebody that Jesus is alive and well. To tell somebody that Jesus loves you. To tell somebody that life doesn't have to be the way it is. Something different, something better is waiting on you. Who will do the work of the evangelist? Who will get a burden and a passion for souls this year? I know that as humans, we're very into self-preservation. Well, I got to make sure I'm okay. You should. Examine yourself, the scripture says. Make sure you're in the faith. But as a born-again child of God, I have a mandate from the Lord. I must tell someone about Him. I've got to make Him known to somebody. I've got to be an open book. I've got to let my light so shine before men that they may see my good works and glorify my Father, whom they belong to in heaven. God loved souls so much, and He knew that sin was a problem then, knew it would be now, so He came. He left glory and He came. 1 Timothy 1 and 15, Paul wrote this, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation." Everybody just needs, some things you're just going to have to accept. You may not embrace it, but you might as well know it's true. Accept it. That Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I don't care how bad you think you've been. I don't care if you think you're a lost cause. I don't care if your friends say, "Oh, there ain't no hope for me." You go to this scripture right here and you tell them, no, Jesus came into this world to save sinners, no matter how bad you think you were. I've prayed with people that said, "I guess I'm just too mean. I was too bad to receive the Holy Ghost. And maybe I'm just too been too awful. And maybe it's just past hope for me. I don't have any, the Lord just, He's not going to waste His time on me." That ain't true. You're a soul. You belong to Him. He cares about you. He died for you. And I'm here to tell you in this house today that this is what we're going to focus on in 2025. In our homes, on our jobs, in our families, in our schools, we're going to focus on the souls of men. Because heaven and earth will pass away, but the Word of God won't. And heaven and earth is going to pass away, but the souls of men are going to live on somewhere. And believe it or not, you and I play a part in this. I can't save anybody on my own by my righteousness, but I can tell somebody about the Savior. And that's what the Lord wants us to do, to tell somebody that He came to this world to save the lost. In 1 Timothy 4 and 10, Paul said, "For therefore we both labor and we suffer reproach." He was talking about their preaching of the gospel. He said, we're going everywhere telling people about the Lord. And because of it, we labor, we work, we're doing the work of the evangelist, and we suffer reproach. Because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. Friend, He's everybody's Savior. But everybody won't be saved. But if they could just believe that Jesus died for them, if they could just believe and obey the gospel, friend, they can be saved. God is in the business of saving souls. Always has been. The apostles knew this. It inspired Peter to write this, 1 Peter 3 and 20. He was writing about the days of Noah. But he said in the days of Noah, while men were just doing all, they were disobedient and they were evil, and the long-suffering of God waited, gave them a time, Noah built an ark. And he said, few, that is eight souls, were saved by water. Even in that day, God was concerned with souls. Noah, get your family. He gave them a word. The world is wicked. Things are going wrong, but I'm going to give you a space of time to work. And in that space of time, the scripture says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. He wasn't just trying to build that ark in secret and get his family there. He wasn't like a modern-day prepper. I'm going to have my shelter and not going to tell nobody about it, and I'm not sharing with anybody. I'm just going to have me a place, and I'm going to save my family. No, Noah was a preacher of righteousness. and he was working on that ark, which was giving him the instructions by God himself. And he was trying to compel this world, this wicked world. You've got to believe God. Destruction's coming. A flood's coming. Please get in the ark. Please come and help us with the building. Help us work on it. We don't know when it's going to happen, but it's going to happen. It's going to rain one day. I keep watching the sky as I'm putting logs together, but there's nothing yet. But it's coming. Noah, you're a fool. You're foolish. But it didn't stop him. He suffered ridicule because of it. They laughed at him and mocked him, and nobody believed it. And he said, well, how do you know that? I know that because only 8 souls were saved. And it was his family. God cares about souls. And we see a connection in that statement by Ezekiel when he said, the Lord told him, said, all souls are mine. We see a connection to all humanity and God. And we know we're baptized in the one body by one spirit. We know we have that connection because we've received the spirit of adoption. We're part of the body. We're brethren and sisters. We're a family in Christ. We know that. But you're connected to everyone you see because they belong to God just like you do. When you see somebody and you think, golly, ooh, I'm going to stay on the other, they belong to God. When they look at you and they're tatted up and pierced and wild-eyed, and you think, whoo, they belong to God. When you see them stumbling and staggering with alcohol on their breath and dirty and disheveled, and you think, man, they belong to God. When they're ringing you up at the store, they belong to God. When they get your order wrong at the restaurant, they belong to God. When they cut you off in traffic, they belong to God. Come on. You pass them. You walk past them all the time, and every single one you go by, they're not aliens in this world. They belong to God. We all were created in His image. We all belong to Him. Oh, we're created in His image. Souls. All souls are His. Saved or not. Saint or sinner. All souls belong to Him. And He doesn't want them to just go by the wayside. He wasn't going to be content to just let some be saved and some not. He said, I'm going to make a way for everybody. And I'm going to come down to this earth. And I'm going to be the perfect sacrifice. And I'm going to give my life on that cross. And I'm going to rise from the dead. And I'm going to give instruction to my church. I'm going to give them the keys to the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to put a light in them. I'm going to put a fire in them. I'm going to put a word in their mouth. I'm going to give them what they need for this world to be saved. Jesus passed this on to us. Matthew 28:19-20. This is Jesus talking to his 12, his disciples, not just the 12, but all that were there, the women as well. He said, go ye therefore and teach all nations. You don't look like them. You won't talk like them. Your customs will be different. But you go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always. You're not going by yourself, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Go. Do the work. I've walked with you all this time. I've done signs and wonders and miracles. I've taught you, preached to you. You've seen me crucified. You've seen me rise from the dead. And I'm about to ascend to my Father. But here's what I want you to do while I'm gone. I'm coming back. But until I get back, these are your orders. In Mark 16, he recorded it like this, 15 and 16. And Jesus said unto them, go. Well, I tell you, he's serious. Go. Go you into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Oh, isn't it wonderful that we've got a message that can save the world? He said, you go preach the gospel. and they that believe it and are baptized, they're going to be saved. God has given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He's given us the message for the world. Don't think I don't know what to tell them. It's in the book. It's an open book test. You can't fail. Just go to the book and tell them what Jesus said to tell them. Tell them the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Tell them what he did for them. And when they believe, they can be baptized in his name and be saved. This is what all these disciples were recording. They recorded. He that believeth not shall be damned. They don't have to believe it. That's not up to you and I. We've just got to believe. We've just got to preach it. The sower, he's doing the work of the evangelist. The seed is the gospel. It's the word of God. And he's not trying to pick and choose and aim. I'm going to throw it right there where them rich people are. I'm going to throw it right there where them smart people are. I'm going to throw it where them good-looking people are. I'm going to where them popular people are. But he's throwing it on rocky ground. He's throwing it by the wayside. He's throwing it on good. I'm just sowing the seed. Man, wherever it goes. Let me tell you, I know that when it goes by the wayside, things can choke it. But I know a lot of people that heard it on the wayside, and somehow they came through all the briars, they came through all the weeds, and somehow they made it. And let me tell you, it ain't my job to worry about if they're going to receive it. It's my job to sow it, to spread it, to talk about it, to tell somebody, to do the work of the evangelist. Oh, come on. I got enough work to do in 2025. Pastor, don't be adding nothing to me. This is the most important job you'll ever do. Tell somebody about the Lord. Tell somebody about Jesus. It didn't stop there. Luke went on to record his words as well. Luke 24, 46 to 47. And Jesus said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. That's the gospel, death, burial, resurrection of Jesus. But then he said, now repentance and remission of sin should be preached in my name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Among all nations. You have to understand, he was talking to these Jewish men, and it was forbidden for them to fellowship with Gentiles. They weren't supposed to be mixing with people that were not of their nations. They were supposed to just keep to themselves up to this point. But he said, I'm breaking these barriers down. And I'm telling you, you go to all nations. You go to every creature. You go to everywhere, every nation. You just make sure you're telling them about me. Tell them what I told you. Do it. The last recorded words of Jesus to his followers before he ascended are found in Acts chapter 1. Now listen, we just read what was written at the end of those Gospels. And we know what precedes that is the book of Acts. This is how the book of Acts, people say, the book of Acts, it don't mean anything. The book of Acts is how they carried out the mission that Jesus gave them. But before Acts chapter 2, which we like to shout about, Acts 1 and 8, Jesus said, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Holy Ghost comes upon us and we become his. The Bible says, without the Spirit of Christ, we're none of his. We become his. We receive the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We become his. We're baptized in the one body by one Spirit. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and all the places where we are. But then you're going to go to Samaria. Remember the woman at the well said, Jews don't have any dealings with Samaritans. He said, you're going to go there and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Every one of these recorded statements all point to this very simple fact, that those who know him, that those who know his word, that those who know his story and are filled with his Spirit have a job to do. We must do the work of the evangelist. We have a mandate from God. Oh, the one that loved us and gave himself for us is pleading with us. Preach the gospel. Tell somebody about me. Oh, I went through all these things so you could help people be saved. I didn't want anybody to be lost, so I came to this earth and gave my life so my blood could cleanse anyone that would. That's why in Revelation it says, whosoever will, let him come. Let him come and take of the water of life freely. Let him come. Everyone, we must do the work of the evangelist. And that's where we start seeing it begin to work out. We know what happens in Acts chapter 2. The day of Pentecost has fully come. And they were all about 120 gathered together in an upper room. And they were in one place in one accord. And suddenly there came a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the house where they were sitting. They were all baptized with the Holy Ghost and cloven tongues of fire set upon them. They spake with other tongues. And the town was in an uproar over this. What does this mean? What's going on here? These men must be drunk. And it was Peter that stood up and said, they're not drunk as you suppose. But this is that the prophet Joel spoke about. God had already prophesied, gave it to his prophet, said, tell them that it's coming, that I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh. Oh, come on, somebody. He said, yeah, people are going to start seeing visions. People are going to start having dreams. It's going to happen. They're going to speak with new tongues. It's going to happen. And it happened just like God said, and Peter began to preach about Jesus. He began to preach just like Jesus told him to. Three different times that we see it recorded, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It's recorded. Go preach this. Did Peter preach what Jesus asked him to preach? Sure he did. In Luke, he said, preach repentance and remission of sins in my name. Let's see what what Peter said. In Acts 2:38, then Peter said unto them, repent. Check that one off, because the Lord said, preach repentance and remission of sins, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Check that box off. He's preaching exactly what Jesus told him to preach. He's doing the work of the evangelist. And it began in Jerusalem and in all Judea, but it was going to move. But he said, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all. The promise is to all who are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Don't you ever think that somebody's not worthy of the Holy Ghost. None of us were worthy of the Holy Ghost, but the promise was unto us, even when we were far off, when we were far out, when we were far away, when we were lost and doing all kind of ungodly things. God said, oh, I'm just wanting you to receive what I've got for you. Oh, he saw me and he saw you. He's seen you at your worst. He's heard you at your worst. He knows the places you've been. He knows the things you've done that nobody else knows about. And he said, but if you will just believe my gospel, I'll pour my spirit out on you. I'll fill you with my spirit. I'll wash your sins away and your life will be different. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And we have the message to do that. We have that if we will do the work. Somebody say, do the work. Look at your neighbor and say, do the work. A lot of times we want to get by with the easy pass. Well, come on, you didn't ever copy off somebody's test in school? You didn't ever, somebody finished up early and you said, hey man, let me see your paper. And you just went through there and wrote the answers down? Come on. What was tough was when you had somebody that looked at you and said, do the work. I'm stupid. I don't know how to do the work. No. Look, we're not stupid. And we're not ignorant. And listen, he gave this to fishermen. Common people. Not educated. But it was obvious that they had been with him. Oh, listen. Nobody needs to see your diploma. They need to see your testimony. They don't need to see all your credentials. They just need to see your light shining. Hello? Yeah. They might remember your past. That's, That's all right when they do, because then you can shock them real good. Oh, I remember you, man. Boy, you used to tear it up. That ain't me no more. What? Oh, no. I've been serving the Lord for 30-plus years now. I mean, you don't go to them places no more? I don't. You don't drink no more? No, I don't. You quit smoking dope? I did. Sure did. Quit all that. Cussing, fighting, lying, cheating, snuff dipping, tobacco chewing, all that stuff. Cut it out. Let the Lord work on me. And you know, it took somebody to look past what I looked like when I came into the church. Somebody had to look past what I looked like. Say, he's a soul. And Jesus loves him very much. And I can't figure out what in the world he'll do with him. But God knows what he'll do with him. There's a lot of them could figure out what Jesus would do with Paul, but oh, look what he did with Paul. Yeah. Don't discount them. The soul that you witness to, the soul that you reach for, might be the next Paul, might be the next evangelist, might be the next missionary, might be the next man of great faith or woman of great faith. You just never know what you might unleash when you begin to do the work of the evangelist. 3,000 souls were added to the church on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 at one shot. 3,000. All because one stood up and said, this same Jesus that you have crucified is both Lord and Christ. And it pricked their heart. The story of Jesus touches the heart of men. He's the creator. They may ignore it, and they may deny it, but it happens. In Acts chapter 8, remember Jesus said, you're going to go to Samaria? Philip goes to Samaria. Philip, a Jew, goes to Samaria, and a great revival breaks out. And you know what's happening? He's preaching Jesus, and they're being baptized in water. And the apostles come down and lay hands on them, and they receive the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues just like they did on the day of Pentecost. Somebody was doing the work of the evangelist. In the middle of that revival, God speaks to Philip and says, hey, run down to the desert and catch this eunuch. He's on a chariot going across the desert. Just one man in the desert. And God said, I'll send him somebody because he's a soul. I'll send somebody through the desert for him. I'll send somebody across the hot burning sand. I'll send somebody because he matters. But Lord, there's so many more people still here in the city, but this guy's about to get away. And he's reading about me as he goes, but he don't understand. I need somebody to open his eyes. I need somebody to tell him who I am because he's mine. But he's a eunuch from Ethiopia, and he's not Jewish. Don't ever fall into that nonsense. All souls are mine, saith the Lord. In Acts chapter 10, Peter, very concerned about keeping himself in his traditions and things that, in following the law and the law of Moses and dietary things, God gives him a vision. There's a sheep that's let down. Peter's very hungry, and he lets down a sheep, and it's full of all kind of beasts and animals and creeping things, and the Lord said, arise, Peter, slay and eat. And he said, oh, no, Lord, nothing unclean's ever touched my mouth. And he does that a few times, and it's finally taken away, and the Lord told Peter, what I have cleansed, you don't call it common. And so about that time, a knock at the door comes, and this man from the house of Cornelius, and he's of the Italian band. He's a Gentile, a centurion. But they send for Peter because an angel of the Lord had said, find him, he'll come. And when Peter gets there in Acts chapter 10, he begins to preach to them. He says, you know, it's not lawful for me to come into your house and keep company with Gentiles, but God has told me. Basically what I'll paraphrase, all souls are mine. What he told Peter was, what I've cleansed, you don't call common. He said, before I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, him that feareth God and works righteousness is accepted with him. And so he said, I came. What do you want me to do? So he started preaching Jesus. And while he was preaching Jesus and they were listening, the Holy Ghost fell on them like it did the Jews at the beginning. And all these Gentiles, these people that Peter and them would never have anything else to do with before, they start speaking in tongues just like we did at the beginning. Well then, who can forbid water that these should not be baptized? He commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. He had the message. He didn't want to go. It made it uncomfortable to go. But the Lord said, they're souls. And somebody's got to do the work of the evangelist. They needed to hear about salvation that was provided through Christ Jesus. The scripture tells me in Matthew 25 that there'll be some, that one day there'll come a dividing. And this is where it gets serious. One day, we don't like to think about that day, but the Bible says it's coming. And the Lord is going to divide people to the left and to the right. And those to the right, he's going to say, enter in, well done. But to those on the left, he's going to say, depart from me and enter into everlasting fire. That's going to happen. I told you, souls will live on somewhere forever. It's going to happen. And we're not going to just get lucky and trip up and land in heaven. And your friends and loved ones are not just going to get lucky and trip up and end up in heaven. And your family's not just going to get lucky and all of a sudden, hey, I rode dad or mom's coattail into heaven. It don't happen like that. You've got to tell them about Jesus. Their souls, they matter. And the Lord gave us the word for them. He gave us the message for them so that they could be saved. You've got to tell. Well, what if they won't hear it? And what if they say, well, I'm not going to talk to you anymore if you keep talking about Jesus? The Lord said, well, if you'll deny me in front of men, I'll deny you in front of my Father. Somebody's got to do the work of the evangelist. It's serious. We got to find the ones that are on the left and the ones that might be left. Many times the scripture talks about it, the coming of the Lord, two in a field, one taken, one left. Working in the same field, working for the same master. But what was the difference? All souls are mine, saith the Lord. But everybody's not going to believe. We've got to be concerned about the brother we're working side by side with in the field. 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 foolish, 5 enter in, 5 are left. That's a 50-50 chance. I don't want to be like that. I want to make sure I'm telling somebody. You know that Jesus loves you. You've got to believe this. You've got to understand that God loves you and he wants more for you. Don't try to press them into a mold and make them into something. Tell them about the Lord. Don't try to make them, don't try to turn them into you. Just be a leader in their life. Tell them about the Lord. Tell them what he did for you, and then he can do the same thing. And who knows what will happen in your life, but we ain't got a press. I mean, we're stamping out saved people. Oh, you're saved. You're saved. You're saved. And we all look identical and the same. That's nonsense. We're going to go on to perfection. We're going to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord, and we're going to mature and get better as we wait for the coming of the Lord. But right now, just start sowing the seed. Just start sowing the seed. Don't care where it falls. Don't care where it goes. Just sow the seed. We have some work to do. There are some phrases used, and I'm not going to be much longer. In 2 Corinthians 5, 10 and 11, there's a word in here. Paul said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body. According to that, he has done, whether it be good or bad. This is what's coming. And so then he says, here's what we do. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Persuade them. You can't persuade nobody if you're not passionate about what you got. If your salvation don't mean much to you, it ain't going to mean much to nobody else. we prayed in this conference we just came from. They prayed for a new baptism of passion in people's walk, in their lives, in their ministries. And we need to pray, God, wake my passion up. Don't let me be ashamed to talk about you, to pray in public, to lead somebody in prayer, or to invite somebody to church, or to give somebody a Bible study. Don't let me hang my head when they ask me, do I serve you? But let me lift my head. Not arrogant, not holier than thou, but yes, I do serve the Lord. Yes, I do love him because he loves me. I'm not ashamed. The world's not ashamed of the way they live. I'm not going to be ashamed of the way I live. So he said, put that scripture back up for me, brother. We persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. And I trust also we are made manifest in your consciences. I hope that people see to be, if we're manifest, we're made known. And I hope that we're making ourselves known as children of God. Not, again, not, oh, we're better than everybody. All souls are his. It's like the two men that stood in the temple. One stood over there and said, oh, Lord, I pray and I fast and I give, and I'm glad I'm not like that dude right there. But the sinner man wouldn't even lift his eyes up and said, have mercy on me. I don't want to be like that man. Say, I'm glad I'm not like him, because I remember when I was him. I remember when I was that man. I remember when I was a mess and my life was out of control. And I remember what fixed it, Jesus. Not just saying, not just believing in him, not believing that he existed, but coming to him, believing the gospel, serving him, and giving my life to him. Believing the gospel, then obeying the gospel. In Luke 14 and 23, there was a parable taught about a great supper. And the Lord said to the servant, go out into the highways and go into the hedges and compel them to come in. Compel them. He didn't say grab them and drag them. You can't force nobody. But compel them. Tell them about how good it is. Hey, man, you need to come to this feast. Why do I want to go to that feast? And you start describing it. Hey, you know, it's free. I think I'll go. You have compelled someone. You told them how good it is. You told them how great it is. You told them what a blessing it is. And you've told them how good that master is. And they said, you know, I think I'm going to check this out. If all that you said is true, you've piqued my interest. I'm compelled to follow you. I'm going to come to church with you. I'm going to see what's this all about. And then Jude 22 and 23. And of some have compassion. Leave this up here for a second. And some have compassion, making a difference. It's amazing what happens when you show somebody you care. Just have compassion. What they're going through to you might be the silliest thing ever. Are you, in your mind, you might be going, are you kidding me? But to them, it's real. To them, it matters. And they would probably look at some of the stuff you deal with and say, are you serious? For real? But if you'll have compassion, when they come to you broken and upset and confused, and instead of shush them away, you listen, pray with them, talk to them, offer something, just offer a hand of friendship. Maybe, I just want somebody, okay, I'll just be an ear then. I'll just be an ear. I'll listen, and you'll know. And even though we're in different places in our life, I'm here. Look how Jesus ministered to so many people that were unlike him. He ministered to the people that he came to save. Because they questioned him on this. Why do you go and eat with all these sinners and publicans and all that? And he said, those that are well don't need a physician, but those that are sick. And I'm a physician. I'm here to heal people, fix people, make people whole. And so I've got to go to those that need it. Don't get caught up just doing Bible studies with other saints. You're already saved. You getting resaved? What's going on? It's good to have people to talk scripture about, but talk to somebody. Go to those that need the physician. Do the work of the evangelist. And then he said in verse 23, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. There's some that you're just going to have to get more radical with. There's some that you can. Sometimes, you know, your family, you can talk to them like other people can't, or maybe a friend, you can talk to them like other people can't, and you can just, I hate what's going on in their life. I hate watching their life being destroyed. And so I'm going to pray. So we think of just a literal, he's not talking about grab your kids by the nape of the neck and drag them down to the altar. Grab your spouse by the arm and pull them all the way down here. But you know how you pull them out of the fire? You hit your knees. You bury your face. And you start crying out to God. You start standing in the gap. You fast. You search God. You pray to God. You seek God. You keep going over and over. You don't give up. Over and over. Lord, save them. God, have mercy on them. Lord, give me words to say to them. You start seeking God for an answer. That's how you pull them out of the fire. That's doing the work of the evangelist. You can stand with me. The lives of men, the souls of men. Over 8 million on the planet. And every one of them is important to God. We've got to get the burden, the same burden that Jesus had when he walked this earth. He would weep over his city, weep over them. He said, oh, if you had just known the things that belong to your peace, if you had any idea who I was, and he just wept over that city, but he said, but because you wouldn't believe this, just destruction's coming. But he kept on going. They wouldn't believe him, but he kept on going. They mocked him, but he kept on going. They tried to kill him, but he kept on going. I've got to keep going. In April of 1942, after the bombing of Pearl Harbor, there was a man by the name of Desmond Doss. Maybe you know who I'm talking about. He said, I couldn't stand by and stay at home. He could have stayed out of the army because of the job he did. It was an essential job, and he could have stayed out of the army and stayed out of the war. But he said, I can't stand by while my loved ones are going off to fight a battle. So he went when his number came up in the draft. He said, but I don't want to fight. I don't want to shoot. And I don't want to kill nobody. He wanted to go in as a non-combatant. They didn't have that kind of status. He had to go in as a conscientious objector. He said, but I don't object. He said, I just don't want to kill nobody. It ain't my job to kill nobody. I don't want to kill nobody. I don't want to injure people and hurt people. He said, I want to go. He said, soldiers will be hurt, and I want to help save their life. I want to go and be a medic. I want to save people. They made a movie, Hacksaw Ridge. Maybe you've seen it. In May of 1945, Japanese troops were defending the last barrier preventing a potential Allied invasion in their homeland. The United States at Okinawa were ferociously attempting to take the Maida Escarpment, which was an intimidating rock face that they called Hacksaw Ridge. Soldiers would climb up an enormous rope ladder, go to war with the Japanese soldiers, and many of them would not make it out alive. And on May 5th, the United States secured the top of the ridge, thought they had it done, only to be shocked by another Japanese counterattack, and they were overrun. It was an attack that forced the United States to retreat down the ridge to the bottom. Less than a third of the soldiers made it down the ridge, but there was one soldier that refused to leave, Desmond Doss. Without a weapon, no gun, no knife, nothing, he went back across the ridge looking for fallen soldiers. He found a soldier with no legs and he carried him back to the ridge and lowered him to the bottom. He found another soldier shot in the knee and he dragged him to the ridge and lowered him down. But after every rescue, after every one of those, he would say, "Lord, give me one more." And he would go back in the peril of his own life, looking. Some were already gone. He couldn't save them, but he was looking for anybody. And they would see him, and they had seen him going back and forth, and people would, "Desmond, Desmond." And he would get one, and he would carry him back. And they didn't even know who was doing it. They were lowering him. He was lowering people down. They didn't even know what was going on. And he was bringing people back. And after every one, he would say, "Lord, give me just one more." People that he had trained with, served with, that he become friends with, that were up there bleeding, shot, dying, taking their last breaths. And he would go back, right back in the middle of all that. The Japanese were going around and they would find a soldier alive. They'd shoot him. It was awful. But he would go back over and over, "Lord, give me one more." Why would you keep doing that? Because we serve the same country. They're my brothers. They're people, and they're alive, and they need a way out, and somebody's got to go save them. You can't just leave them. One man saved 75 men. Drug 75 men out of a firefight. Lived. He had shrapnel in his body. One time they threw a grenade and it landed. He kicked the grenade out of the way, but he had pieces of shrapnel in his body because where he did that. But every time he would get one, sometimes their leg would be shot off and he would fix that as good as he could. And he would get them there. They were in different shape. But he didn't care as long as they were breathing. "I'll get you back. Lord, give me one more." Outside these four walls, the enemy's fighting. The enemy's fighting them. Their flesh is fighting them. This world's against them. And they're out there. But who will say, "Lord, give me one"? You know, he kept going back. You think, "Well, you just asked for one more. Why'd you go back?" Because there were still people out there. And I realized, well, I got this one done. What am I going to do now? I'm not going down. Just give me one, God. When he give me that one, then give me one more. Give me one more. 75 people who were able to go home, raise families, go back to their loved ones, go back to a life, because one man said, "I'm going to go. I'll pull." That's pulling them out of the fire. That's pulling them out of fire. "I'm not worried about me. I'm okay." He felt he was right with the Lord. He said, "I'm right with the Lord." He believed, "Lord, give me one more." Let's bow our heads for just a moment and get ready to pray. I would be that this year in 2025 that you would never get off your knees out of your prayer closet without saying, "Lord, help me get one more for the kingdom." They're out there, I know it. I'm going to be looking. I'm going to keep my eyes open. And when I see that one, "Lord, let me get one more for the kingdom. Let me be a good soldier. and do the work of the evangelist. Let me get one more wounded, one more left for dead, one more that thinks there's no hope. But then here comes somebody sweeping in, somebody with the gospel, an evangelist, the life-changing, life-saving gospel of God. Lord, help us. Lord, I pray right now for everyone under the sound of my voice. I know we have visitors today, and that's all right. I feel like this is not something new. This is an old message, a message from the foundation of the world where the Lamb of God was slain, that souls mattered. So for 2025, Lord, our focus is going to be your focus, souls for the kingdom of God, to pull people out of the fire, to have compassion, Lord, to lead people to a place where they can, or they can be saved, where they can be safe, where they can find hope again. Hallelujah. So let's be the church. Let's do the work. Let's see souls saved. Lord, give me one more. Give me one, Lord, and then give me one more. I want to open the altars now for just a moment. If you'd like to come and pray today, Lord, get me ready for this year. Lord, get me ready for the revival that's coming. Get me ready, Lord, to go out and reach souls. Lord, I want to do the work of the evangelist.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.